He fixed one of my favorite meals tonight, that pulled pork. I love that stuff. Anyway, poor piggy. No, anyway. But anyhow, all right, thank you so much. Thank you, Brother Neil, for that. That's tremendous challenge from the Word of God. I want to thank you, church, for your prayers and your support. And our ministries, without churches, without God's people, getting involved and listening to what the Lord has to say, we couldn't do it, you know. We'd have to do just very little. And when you get God's people together, and thank you so very much for allowing us that privilege of being one of your missionaries over the years here, and what a blessing it is. And someday in glory, we'll get to rejoice together with the fruit that God has given as all that seed goes out, you know. We get to see a little bit once in a while, but most of it we don't. When you get out, you know, hundreds of thousands and millions of scriptures in different areas, and, you know, what's God's going to do with it? We don't know, but He does. And like preacher just said, we're not going to get a harvest unless we sow, and we got to just keep sowing, and water it with our prayers, say, God, do something, and He'll do it. Thank you for the great accommodations, for the meals. I'm telling you, we've had some good victuals around here. I'll tell you, it's been good eating, and what I've enjoyed even more than that is the fellowship. It's been good. We really enjoyed the fellowship. It's been good to be in a conference here with the Dempseys and with the Neils and Brother Keogh. I've just got to meet him. I heard about him a long time ago, and they let him out of prison finally, and so I got to meet him. No, it's been a blessing to spend some time with him and get his heart for over there in Ukraine, and what a joy and what a blessing. All right, let's turn this evening to a very familiar scripture, Matthew chapter 28. We're going to start here. And as you're turning there, I'm going to mention, Pastor's mentioned it several times, we don't want you to leave here without this beautiful photograph. This will enhance your home. Now, there's others out there that are okay, but this is the cream of the crop. You know, no, if you don't like that side, turn it over. You have better pictures in the back. But anyhow, put a little frame around it, set it someplace, and it will enhance your home. And we'd love to have you continue to pray for us. We desperately need that. And so just go ahead and grab those before you leave tonight. All right, let's look here in Matthew 28, the last few verses, verse 18, 19, and 20. It says, "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. Amen." Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for meeting with us tonight already. And Lord, I pray that you continue to use your word. Lord, that you just hide me behind the cross. And Lord, that I'd say that which you'd have to be spoken tonight. Lord, continue opening our hearts that as the word of God goes forth, it might find fertile ground to grow in our lives and to take root. And Lord, that we might increase our fruit of devotion and service to you. And Lord, we just pray that you do a great and mighty work, continue to work in this church, Lord, that it might be the lighthouse in this area as it has been, that it might grow even more, and let alone throughout the world. And Lord, we'll be careful to give you the praise, the glory, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'm going to speak tonight on the Mission Conference. When I was in the military, we were given missions that we had to accomplish. And if you look it up in Webster, mission is this: an important assignment carried out for political, religious, or commercial purposes, typically involving travel. We understand that, involving travel. He says the vocation or calling of a religious organization, especially a Christian one, to go out into the world and spread its faith. Some synonyms of mission: calling, pursuit, goal, aim, quest, undertaking, purpose. We have a mission that God has given to us in reaching the world. And he tells us here in this scripture, he says, "Go ye therefore." And one of the first things I learned as a new Christian, our pastor taught us, he said, when you're reading your Bible and you find the word therefore, he says, stop. Find out what it is there for. And so you back up in the verse previous to it, and it's, Jesus says this, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. And you just heard a message on giving it to him and let his power work through you. And so we find we have a mission. God has laid it out before us. That's what Jesus said in John 20, verse 21. Then Jesus said to them, now notice the next word in John 20, 21. Jesus said to them, again. You know, he had to tell the disciples, again. Listen, you've got to get going. I've given you a mission. Now I want you to get out there and get doing it. And he says, again, peace be unto you. As my Father has sent me, even so send I you. And so that mission's been laid out before us. Now, what about conference? What does conference mean? You look it up in Webster's and it says this, a formal meeting for discussion. A formal meeting for discussion. Now, the whole idea of Faith Promise Missions is it's you having a discussion with God Almighty. Amen. Discussing with Him and saying, Lord, what would you have me to do? What should my part be in Faith Promise? And what do you want me to do about this, Lord? You know, the mission conference is the church's business meeting where you decide the fate of the heathen. That's what takes place here. And your participation in the Faith Promise offering is not optional if obedience to God is your goal. You can't set it aside and say, well, you know, I'm okay here, you know. You got to look beyond and say, hey, we have a mission out there. And it's a phenomenal challenge that's set out before us. But what an opportunity that we get to take part in it. And you know, when you come to a conference like this, it's like Brother Neil mentioned earlier. He says, you feel like, man, I want to go there. And I want to go there. And I want to go there. And the Lord just stirs your heart up. And we can. Maybe you can't go there physically, but you can put some finances in the Faith Promise, and the church can support a missionary that goes there. And so they're there as your representative doing what you would do if you could be there, but you can't be all over, but you can send them. And man, what a blessing it is when you get to do that. So as we look at this here in Faith Promise, you find it's a mission, it's a conference. Now, Faith Promise, what it is not. Malachi 3:10 says, wherein have you robbed me? You've robbed me in tithes and offerings. Now, a tithe, you say, what's a tithe? We had one fellow one time, he says, what's a tithe? I said, no, that's not a tithe, it's a tithe. But anyhow, you know, he says, what's a tithe? I said, it's 10% of your income. And he says, that belongs to him. Wouldn't it be neat if the government would say, from now on, folks, we're only going to ask for 10%. Man, that would be neat, instead of taking this 40% out of your income all the time. But God says, hey, 10% belongs to me. And he says, if you give that, he says, I'm going to bless you. And then he says, offerings. Now, the Faith Promise is an offering, but it's not the offering he's talking about here. What the offering there is, it's kind of like our home church right now has special offerings. You say, what for? We built a new building. We still owe some money on it, and so we're asking for special offerings every month to cover that payment so it doesn't have to come out of the tithes that are used for the operation of the ministry. And so that's an offering. You say, what else isn't it? It's not the alms gift. You say, what? How many types of giving are there? You find that over there in Matthew chapter 6. That's where it says, let not the right hand know what the left hand's doing. What that is God may touch your heart. You might hear a preacher, or maybe there's a family that's going through a hard time in the church, and God will touch your heart and say, hey, I want you to buy a bag of groceries, and you put you have to put a $50 bill in now, 20 doesn't do much anymore, but you have to put a 50 in there, and you take it over and put it on their doorstep, and you ring the doorbell, and you leave. They don't know you did it, but God touched your heart to do it. That is an alms gift. Faith Promise is obedience to God in reaching a lost world with the gospel. That's Faith Promise. You know, spiritual faith is an interesting thing. You find that you're not born with faith. In Romans chapter 10 and verse 17, it says this, faith cometh. Ephesians 2:8 says, faith converteth. 1 John 5:4 says, faith overcometh the world. Romans 4:3 says, faith counts. God adds it up. Amen. He adds it up. I don't know how he does it, but he does. He adds it up. He watches what we do, and so he adds this up. We find then that faith is substance. Look at over in Hebrews chapter 11. We're going to jump around a bit here in different places in the Scriptures, but in Hebrews chapter 11, we get over here and he talks about faith is the substance. We find that in verse number 1. It says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." He said it's substance. We spoke the other night about Abraham. And Abraham and how he believed God. And there in Romans, keep your fingers there, and we're going to be coming back to Hebrews. But back in Romans in chapter 4, and down in verse 17, we read this scripture. "As it is written, I've made thee a father of many nations, before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead, and calleth those things which be not as though they were." You talk about faith. He said here he'd been for 24 years. They'd been praying for a child, for a son, and God had promised him that. And they waited all these years. They kept praying. He prayed as though he had that son already, even though he did not. And that's the kind of faith that we have to have. You got to rely on him. Over in Proverbs chapter 3, you find in Proverbs chapter 3, and you get down in verses number 9 and 10. And it says this, "Honor the Lord with thy substance." He said, "Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase." He said, you need to honor the Lord with your substance. What is your substance? It's the paycheck. That's substance. When you get paid, it's substance that you have. He says, "Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine." God promised us, he said, if you honor me with your substance. And as I had written down here too, we're not going to go over it, but in Mark chapter 6, where they said, "We don't have enough money." And that's when he says, "What do you have? 5 loaves, 2 fishes. Substance. It's substance. And so he's looking at it and he says, "What do you have?" And back in 2 Corinthians, and let's look in 2 Corinthians and get down in chapter 8. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8, and let's look at verses 11 and 12. He says, "Now therefore perform the doing of it, that as there was a readiness to will, so there may be a performance also out of that which you don't have." Is that what it says? Out of that which you might get? No, it says what you have. He says, "I want you to have a performance also out of that which you have." Look at the next verse. "For if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not." That's why we find here in the Macedonians where it says in verse 5 of that chapter, he says, "But first they gave themselves." You heard about that. I heard about that huge offering plate years ago. And what an idea to have people get in that plate. Give yourself, give yourself, give yourself. You know, God needs us to yield to him and to just turn our life over to him and say, "You're in charge, Lord." And boy, I tell you, it's a whole lot. He has a whole lot in store for us, you know. But you got to be willing to say, "Hey, I want to do what's right before you." Amen. Now, do you think of this? How far is the gospel going to go out of Emmanuel Baptist Bible Church next year? Think about it. It's not going to go any further than what you take it or you send it. That's as far as it goes. That's the limitation. And we have to concern that and think about that. It's only as far as we can take it and go with it. And our problem isn't the lack of the finances. It's already God's given us what he has. Now he says, "Yield that to me. Let me use what you have." You know, I remember we had just gotten into, I just stepped out full time in ministry back in the fall of 1979. And I was called by a missionary friend and he says, "Hey, Brother Don," he says, "I've been invited to speak at a church in Springfield, Illinois." And he says, "I'm going to give you an upfront." He said, "The church is going bankrupt." He said, they're done. They're $600,000 in debt. They bought about 125 people in the congregation. And this pastor, he was beside himself. He was ready to just cash it all in. So he called a pastor friend of his down in Kentucky. And this older pastor friend, when he heard all of the wool stories and everything, he told this young preacher, he says, you know what you need? He says, you need a good faith promise missions conference. And this preacher says, but we've already dropped all of our missionaries. We have not sent them anything for the past year. He says, I don't take a salary. My associate doesn't take a salary. We have nothing. He says, we can't make the payments as it is. And he says, but you need a good faith promise missions conference. And he says, I can't promise any missionaries anything. He says, when they're God's people, they're going to come and do what God tells them to do, and don't worry about the money. And so there were three of us that ended up going to that conference. Week-long conference. We come in there, and I mean, the pastor, and you could tell the people were just discouraged. Well, we began to pray and to preach and to preach and to pray and to preach. And all of a sudden, we saw God begin to deal with hearts. And that during that conference over the next week, six men gave their lives to the ministry. And three went to the mission field, and three became pastors. And then in the midst of that, God began to stir hearts, and people were filling the altar up, and they were praying and saying, God, do something. God, do something, with tears, and do something in our church. And at the end of the conference, we had no idea what was going to happen. They took up an offering. He said, we'll count it later. And 6 months went by. Well, they ended up sending us a check for $300, each one of us. Pretty good for them. Church didn't have any money back there in the late 70s. And anyhow, 6 months go by. I get a letter. He says, Brother Sturtz, we've paid back all that we owed our missionaries that we dropped. We now have enough ahead where we're going to take you three missionaries on. And so he took us on. Well, 3 years later, get contacted by him, and he says, we are debt-free. Listen, how did that start? It started with missions. Listen, God doesn't look at this building and say, wow, look at what you got here. Boy, I'm really impressed. You know, this is nothing to what he has up there. This is a tool. This is a tool to bring people in. We can be in here and thank God you're in here tonight. If we had an open-air meeting tonight, doggies. I mean, we'd be wrapped up and we'd be, you know, we'd have on those parkas over there that they have over in Russia, and the old heavy hats and the big old fur boots, and we'd still be shaking and shivering out there. But thank God we can be in here. It's nice and warm, and it's a tool that God uses. But oh, listen, the goal is out there. The people, you know, the people, to reach the people. And so we find here that faith promise, listen, it works. Faith promise works. God uses it. And boy, I tell you, that when I saw that and got involved, I learned an awful lot about faith promise in that conference, I'll tell you. When you see what God Almighty did. And it stuck with me and said, man, I want to be part of that. I don't want to just be a missionary. I want to be a part of the worldwide missions and get involved in giving to missions through our home church and do more and more, spreading the gospel and getting it out. So, faith promise. Now, it takes commitment. It takes commitment. Webster's Dictionary says this about commitment. The state or quality of being dedicated to a cause, an activity, a willingness to give your time and energy, money, to something you believe in. That's in Webster's. Something that you believe in. Oh, listen, we've got to believe. We've got to believe in that people need Christ. Amen. And I mean, we've got to be motivated to that, and we've got to have a commitment to that. And say, oh, God, people need Jesus. If they don't get Jesus, what happens to them? You know, in Luke chapter 16, Jesus talks about a little bit. The rich man in hell. Lazarus and the rich man. You notice, doesn't give a name of the rich man. Gives a name for those who are saved. But those that are going to die lost, they're just nameless. Nameless and gone. And that'll be it for them. But he says, oh, he lifted up his eyes being in torments, and he looked to Abraham, and he said, I'm tormented in this flame. He says, send Lazarus over and just take some water on the tip of his finger and touch it on my tongue. Boy, I tell you, can you imagine that? Being in that kind of a torment and that kind of a pain that just a little drop of water would bring some relief. But he couldn't do it. We find in John chapter 3, let's look there once in John chapter 3 and see what Jesus says here, what the scripture has to say. And in John chapter 3, and we look down in verse number 3, and it says this, Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now, Jesus made it very clear. He said, you've got to be born again. Now, he goes on down, and you get down there in verse number 15. It says that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Now watch this next verse. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Boy, what a judgment. Now the thing is most people throughout the world, they're condemned and they don't know it. And the problem is we have not gotten the truth to them so they can make a wise choice. Right. Yeah. Boy, I say, how are they going to make a choice? How are they going to believe in someone whom they've never heard? You know, how's that going to happen? That's scripture. They've got to hear. That's why we push so hard to get the Word of God out, to get scriptures out, to get tracts out, to get it into the hands of the people. You say they might reject it. You know what I'm finding in our country now, right now? An awful lot more people take it right now. It's amazing. I mean, and young people. You'd think a lot of these young people, they'd laugh and scoff at it, but had an awful lot of them there in that late in their high school and in early college age. And you give them a tract and they'll look at it and say, what is it? And I'll mention what it is and they'll say, thank you, and put it in their pocket. Well, listen, a lot of times we write off something and we don't have any proof that it's true. We say, well, they're not going to take it. You know, do you ever do that when you're going to hand somebody? A lot of times when we're over in the mission field and you see people coming at you. And you got that John Romans, and sometimes you might size them up. You might look at this one, and I mean, it's coming there, and just a rough-looking old guy, you know, and you look at him and say, he ain't going to take it, you know. And you kind of back up a little bit, and you hold it out there, and they grab it and take it off. Then you see this sweet, kind little grandmother coming with a little smile, and she looks at you, and you say, she's going to take it. And they come up to you, nyet, nyet, nyet. You know, and you can't, I tell you, you don't know, you know, and that's why it's got to give everybody a chance, give everybody an opportunity, and do what we can. But listen, it's going to take commitment, Then I think the thing is, a lot of times we don't believe. A lot of times we don't really. I remember we were north of Odessa going to some little villages back in the early 90s, and we came to this one village, a small little village, and came up to this gate, and a lot of things are gated there, and we could see in the back, here was this little grandmother there with her babushka on, and she was hacking away in some meat there, you know, and we rattled the cage there and hollered out, and she turns and she looks, and she's got this butcher knife, and she comes right up to the gate, and she gets right there, and she breaks into this toothless grin. And she looks at us, and it was like, why are you here? And so through the interpreter, we had Brother Mark Preem with us then, and we told her we were out here, we were Christians, and we wanted to bring her the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I'll never forget what she said. She looked at us with a very sober, sober look, and she says, here, at the end of the earth, we feel we are forgotten. Boy, I tell you, that hit me. I mean, here, and if she thinks that way, think how many others do. They feel they're forgotten. Oh, listen, we have the message that God Almighty gave us. I mean, this is the life-giving message that Jesus Christ came into the world that they might have life. And oh, listen, we've got that light here, and we can't squander, we can't hold it back. We got to be willing to commit and say we'll do what we can to get that light out. And then you have to look at in this missions conference that I have substance. Remember, we talked about earlier, I said it's a discussion between you and God. You know, pastor can't tell you what to give. He'd like to. But anyway, no, it'd be great, wouldn't it? You do this, and no. But God does. He wants to hear you. He's not going to make you. Yeah, I remember back some years ago, we were already giving to Faith Promise, you know, and getting going in our deputation and everything. And we'd been praying. We had a good mission conference and asking God and saying, God, what do you want me to do? And God said, double it. And I thought to myself, double it? How in the world can I take what we're already given and double it? You know, and, you know, being a good Baptist that I am, you know, I wrote down just half. And that's what I put in, dropped in. You say, what? Yeah, guess what that night? I didn't sleep. I couldn't sleep. I rolled and tossed and turned and tossed. And I couldn't wait to get back for the next night of the conference and put in the other half. And God just blessed it. And, you know, I found out right there that, hey, just do what he says. Just do what he says. And you say, is he going to talk to you? You think he had. I guarantee you. He'll lay something on your heart. You think he come right down and spoke to you. Because it'll be as clear as can be. But you got to get serious with him. You got to talk to him. You got to yield to him. It's between you and him. Look it back over in 2 Corinthians again, in 2 Corinthians in chapter 9. And we get down in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, and let's start in verse number 6. It says, but this I say. Now watch how many times this comes up in there. He which soweth sparingly shall also reap sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully, every man according as he purposeth in his heart. So let him give, not grudgingly or necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work, as it is written, he hath dispersed abroad, he hath given to the poor, his righteousness remaineth forever. Now he that ministereth seed to the sower, both ministereth bread for your food, and multiply your seed sowing, and increase the fruits of your righteousness. Now it kind of looks like God wants you to talk to him, and he wants to talk to you. He's trying to get our attention a little bit there and say, hey, just like he told the disciples again, listen, as the Father sent me, even so I'm sending you. He says here, listen, he, you got to get sowing. He, if he's going to sow, he, if he sows, I'm going to bless it. He, if he sows, I'm going to give you fruit. He, if he sows, I'm going to give you a crop. He says, he, if you sow, but you got to sow. You got to realize, hey, I've got to get involved in this thing. I've got to yield. I've got to do what God tells me to do. I've got some substance. I've got what God's given me. Now I've got to turn around and give back to him what he asked of me. And boy, I tell you, that it's a struggle sometimes, but that's where he says, I want that faith to come in. He says, we've been commissioned. Tonight you heard where he said, you give them to eat. He's telling us to give. Luke 6:38, what does it say? Give. And what happens? It shall be given unto you. Amen. Give, and it shall be given you. Good measure. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Pressed down. Give, it shall be given unto you. Good measure. Pressed down. Shaken together. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure. Pressed down. Shaken together. And running over. That he said, I'm going to give back to you. Amen. Boy, what a promise. What a promise. And we just have to take him at his word. Take him at his word and just yield. So it's my responsibility. It's our responsibility to carry out this command to go into all the world so that every man can have an opportunity to hear the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know, as things gear up, I know some of us missionaries, we were talking here about the situation. You look at our country and the mess it's in and all that, but I think God is holding it together because of the publishing ministries, the gospel going out like never before. I mean, unbelievable amount. You need to get around sometime if you get down to Cincinnati area and go over there and see the printing operation there that God's raised up there. I mean, it'll blow your mind. I mean, it is so huge. I mean, you're thinking about a building like the size of this. It dwarfs this, what's there. And I'll tell you, it's just amazing. And you go over to Shelbyville, Tennessee, and you see what God's raised up there. And then there's all our smaller printing operations around the country. And I mean, they're sending out multiple, just literally millions and millions of scriptures every year. And plus the missionaries that are going out of this country. Thank God for that. Thank God for that. And oh, listen, that we can continue on. Just continue on. Then you give. Once you give, look at it's a privilege. Look at here in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Giving is a grace. It's a privilege. Look at verse 1. Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. Look at down in verse 6. Insomuch that we desired Titus that as he had begun, so he would also finish in you the same grace. Also, look at verse 7, last part of the verse. And in your love to us, see that you abound in this grace also. Verse number 9, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. He came and gave his all for you and I. Look at down in verse 19. And not that only, but who was also chosen of the churches to travel with us with this grace. Look at down in chapter 9. And you get down in chapter 9 and look at verse number 8. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you. Look at verse 14. And by their prayer for you, which long after you, for the exceeding grace of God in you. Listen, giving's a grace. It's a privilege. It's a privilege to be able to give. Our pastor, I remember when I first got saved, and I was in that little Southside Baptist church there in Oshkosh, Wisconsin. I'll never forget Pastor Howard Nelson, where he said, I would much rather be in a place where I can give than be in a place where I have to receive. And boy, thank God, we're in a position here we can give. Well, that's a privilege. And the more we give, the more God's going to allow us to give. But you just got to get involved in that. So it's a grace, it's a privilege. The amount, we've talked about that. That's between you and Him. That's why we find here in verse number 2 there in chapter 8, where it says, how that in the great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty. Now, I've had a lot of people over the years say, well, I got to wait until I have more money. And I said to him, are you in deep poverty? Well, no. I said, the Bible tells me if you're in deep poverty, you can start. I mean, you can start, you know. So tonight, if you're in deep poverty, you can start giving to missions. You say, man, I don't have, just ask God what to do. From there all the way on up. I mean, He opens the door wide open. I mean, there's no limitations on it. Whether they're a millionaire, whether they make just a few thousand a year, whether they're in poverty, whatever it is, He says, you can get involved. Because He says, give me what you got. Just give it to me. Let me yield it. Let me use it. Let me take it. You know? And then we're to give it on a regular basis. It's a year-by-year commitment. Year-by-year. Look at in chapter 8 here in verse number 10. He says, and herein I give my advice, for this is expedient for you, have begun before, not only to do, but also to be forward a year ago. He said, it's a year ago. Look at in chapter 9, in verse 2. He says, for I know the forwardness of your mind, for which I boast of you to them of Macedonia, that Achaia was ready a year ago, and your zeal hath provoked very many. He said, it's a year-by-year commitment. Why? Because your faith should grow. Your faith should grow. Now, we're getting to the end. Tomorrow, you're going to be doing something with this. This here is a voting ballot. You say, what? Yeah, it's a voting ballot. There are three candidates on this. Not two, three. First one is this. Doctor retreating, don't. He's the one that says, I never got out of this thing. We got enough trouble right here in the United States. We don't have to send people off to other parts of the world. You know, I haven't been involved in this mission stuff, and I'm not going to get involved in it. They're basically saying, let's just bring everybody home off the field and let's let the rest of the world go to hell. Right. That's Dr. Retreating Don't. Second one, Dr. Comfortable Saying. He's the guy that gave $5 7 years ago. He's given $5 a week the last 7 years. He's going to continue to give $5. Thank God for the $5, but his faith hasn't grown. Then there's a third candidate on there, Mr. Militant Moore. And he says, sick him. He says, I want to give what God tells me to give, and we're just going to keep giving, and we're going to do what we can do for the cause of the gospel of Christ to go out. You got to choose. You know, you got to be praying about that and saying, God, there's a lot of amounts on here. God may lay something totally different on your heart. But those candidates are there. And they run through every single Baptist church I've ever been in. And I would to God we could get everybody to be Mr. Militant Moore. And they could all experience a great God that'll do beyond anything they ever dreamt of. You know, I'm going to end with this story. In 2006, we held a campaign in the city of Łódź, Poland. And Łódź, back before World War II, was the textile capital of Europe. They had over 250,000 Jews lived in that city. And just a very prosperous, prosperous city that at that time was running about 750,000 people. Well, we came in there with our team, and we passed out scriptures, and we had our meeting that night, and we had this theater, a 500-seat theater that we rented, and that was packed out. And I know as the week was going on and we were handing out scriptures, I mentioned to the missionary, I said, we better put some overflow packets ready. And he said, what? I said, I don't think we're going to get them all in this theater. And so they got overflow packets ready, a couple hundred of them. Well, that night, the fire marshal showed up. And as people came in, the place would hold 502 people. It got to 502, he locked the door. Next bus came up, 27 people got off, beating on the door saying, hey, let us in. We said, go out there and give them, you know, the overflow packets. And so then we had the meeting. Meeting's done. We're picking up the empty boxes, and we'd handed out the Bibles to everyone. And off to the side here stood this big Polish man, well in his 80s, and the tears were just running. And we thought, well, I wonder what's wrong. And I mentioned to my brother Ken, I says, go and see if you can find out what the thing is. And he went over there to talk to this gentleman, and he said, began to tell his story. He said, when the Nazis came into this city in World War II, he said, I was 15 years old. He said, they took us young Polish men and hauled us off into Germany and put us in labor camps. And he said, we had to work in the munition factories. And he said, if they couldn't work in the munition factory, they were taken to Dachau, the death camp. And he said, what most people don't know is through these camps, there were literally hundreds of Christians sent through these camps. See, Hitler was no friend of Christianity. And he said, but when these Christians came through, they began to tell me about one Jesus. And he says, all of a sudden, I realized that I needed to get saved. And he says, so I asked Jesus to save me. And he said, then I've got a burden for Łódź, my home city. And I began to pray. He said, and then the war ended in 1945. And in 1946, I was sent back. And I began to pray and say, God, send the gospel to Łódź. God, send the gospel to Łódź. The 50s came and went. The 60s came and went. The 70s came and went. The 80s came and went. And still no gospel preacher, no missionary, nothing came to his city. Now it was the 90s, The wall came down and it opened, and he thought for sure, it's open now. Somebody's going to come. Somebody will bring the gospel to our city. Somebody will come here. And he says, the 90s came and went. Then it was 2000, and then 2001, and 2002, 2003, 2004, and in 2005, he said, I began to hear some rumbling going around the city that there was going to be a group of Americans coming to this city. If they were going to bring a lot of scriptures to this city. And he says, and then 2006, he said, your team came. And he said, you scattered 200,000 scriptures throughout this city. And he said, tonight, he says, I'm looking at this. And he says, it's an answer to prayer. Over 60 years, I've been praying that God would send the gospel to my city. I wonder how many cities around the world where somebody's there saying, oh God, I want to know the truth. I want to know the truth. And you know what goes through my mind? I think during that 60 years of time, how many Poles in that city had to live and die without Jesus because the gospel did not come. Oh, listen, the need for missions is phenomenal. Amen. And there's cries throughout the world where they're looking for truth. Amen. And we need to get the gospel to them. Right. Oh, listen, this is serious. This is more serious than anything you'll ever do. You say, well, my mortgage on my home is serious. Yeah, but it's nothing compared to this. Right. You say, well, I need a vehicle. Yeah, that's serious, but it's nothing compared to this. Because what happens here with this, you're going to see again someday. Yeah. You're going to see it again someday, the fruit that has taken place through your missions dollars and as the Word of God goes out. Don't ever take it lightly. Oh, listen tonight. You yield to Him what He wants. You talk to Him. And you say, Lord, show me what you want. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord Jesus, for these precious people. We thank you, Lord, for this mission conference and for this pastor. And Lord, we thank you for these dear missionaries that are here. And Lord, for these precious people. And Lord, I pray that you speak to each heart tonight. And maybe tonight you're calling one of them. Maybe you're speaking to a heart tonight and saying, I want you. I want you to yield. But whatever it is, whatever it is tonight, if you need to talk to Him and say, Lord, I'm not sure what you want me to give, I ask you to show me. And Lord, that the gospel can go forth so they don't have to wait 60 years someplace to get the gospel. May your will be accomplished tonight. Would everyone stand, heads bowed and eyes closed, and our pianist could play. Pastor, would you come?